In the two statewide measures from yesterday's election, one is passing, the other's being narrowly rejected in early returns. Joining me live to talk about the initial results is Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins. Austin, let's start with I-976, the Tim Iman-backed initiative to limit car tab fees to $30. That's passing right now?
It is passing, Kirsten. It's up 56% to 44%, and it's passing in all but four counties across the state. Perhaps not surprising. I mean, this is, as people have said, sort of a bumper sticker issue, $30 car tabs. It's passed before. It's a popular idea, and it certainly seems to be headed towards passage at this point. But as has been noted, there are a lot of ballots yet to be counted.
So if it does end up passing, Austin, what would the impact be?
Well, the number that's been used is about a $4 billion hit over 6 years to transportation funding at the state and local level. So we're talking about local transit agencies. We're talking about Sound Transit being affected, and then certainly state transportation spending. I think it's likely that there will be a legal challenge to all or parts of this initiative. We've seen that in the past as well when $30 car tabs have passed. The reality is, at least here in Olympia, state lawmakers, when they come back in January, are probably going to be looking for ways to backfill. They do have healthy reserves on hand. But what would a fix look like? I think it's early to say. When I asked the speaker designate Lori Jenkins about this last week, she said she thought the focus was pretty much on trying to defeat this at this point. If it were to pass, then those discussions about how to handle the situation would happen.
All right. Well, let's turn to Referendum 88 regarding affirmative action in Washington state. How is that measure looking right now?
So it's closer. The reject vote is about 52% to 48% voting to approve. Once again, it's being rejected in all but four counties. And it's the same four. King, Whatcom, San Juan, and Jefferson counties are the only four counties that are voting to approve affirmative action. Everyone else voting at this point to reject. Again, this is closer. If a bunch of King County votes come in and favor the pro-affirmative action folks, perhaps they could turn this around, but I think it's an uphill climb. They say it's an uphill climb. And this is, you know, what's notable here, I think, is this is the first time in more than 20 years that Washington voters have weighed in on the issue of affirmative action. Of course, this time around, it was a little, you know, arguably confusing because you are voting on a referendum to approve or reject an initiative to the legislature that passed earlier this year, and referendums are always a little tricky.
That's right, and I was just going to say, let's speak to a little bit about how this measure got on the ballot. It was because of legislative action.
It was. There was an effort to gather signatures last winter. In January, the initiative to the legislature qualified. The legislature didn't do anything with it until the very last hours of the legislative session. Majority Democrats passed it, and then immediately the opponents turned around and gathered signatures to put it on the ballot, and that's why we ended up voting on it here in November. Ballotpedia put out a memo on this today, Kirsten, and said that this measure took a complex and unusual route to get before voters. This scenario where you have an initiative to the legislature then being referendum is quite rare.
Well, right. And if this vote holds, what are advocates for affirmative action saying? They're saying this issue still needs to be talked about.
Absolutely. They are saying that this issue is not going away. You know, what's interesting is before Initiative 1000, there was a bill in the legislature to repeal I-200, which is the initiative that was passed in 1998 that effectively was a de facto ban on affirmative action. So the potential for that bill to come back, in fact, I heard from the prime sponsor of that bill, Representative Sharon Tamiko Santos, who said she would most likely file that bill again. However, she says that she's doubtful a measure like that would be acted upon in a short session, which is what the 2020 session will be, a short 60-day session. I think for at least the moment, a statewide vote on this issue might have the effect of chilling action on affirmative action. But what the proponents are saying is that they hope and expect that it wouldn't have an effect of chilling action over the next 20 years, for instance. They think that this issue could come back and be considered again.
All right. Well, what else are you noting from yesterday's election, Austin?
Well, of course, we're going to be watching to see what turnout ultimately ends up being. This is an off-year, odd-year election, and turnout is always much lower in these years. It's all about who turns out. And I think especially when it comes to the affirmative action vote, you're already hearing the supporters saying that there's going to be an asterisk on this election because they don't necessarily view this vote as a statewide referendum on the issue of affirmative action because it didn't happen in a big turnout year. On the flip side, you're going to hear the supporters, the opponents of affirmative action saying, look, once again, voters stood up and said that they are uncomfortable with race or gender-based preferences. So I'm watching to see what the turnout is. I think that we certainly want to see as these later returns and ballots come in if anything starts to change. But oftentimes what we see is the trend lines we saw on election night tend to hold. Even if things narrow up, it's hard to flip or to change who's in the lead unless it's super, super tight. And we're just not at that point on either of these initiatives right now.
All right, Austin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.